Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Thank you so much for being here with us. I have to admit, I'll pretty much say every day we got a great show for you, but today we got a great show for you for the 12th day of Christmas. It is the 12th day of Christmas, so Merry Christmas to you. But it's also our 25th anniversary as a radio program. 25 years ago today. In the year 1998? Sorry, the math is a little slow, but I got nervous there. I knew it was 98, but I got nervous. 1998, on this day, Catholic Answers started as a radio program. So to start off the program today, and like I said, it's going to be a great show because we've got lots of great guests, people from the beginning, people from today, people from the years in between, to talk about this show, the whole Catholic radio revolution that it's part of, and just to have fun saying hello to old friends. And among the oldest friends, one of the oldest people actually that I know. Well, that's probably not the way I should introduce him. The guy who started all of this, Jerry Usher. He's the host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie each morning on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Jerry, thanks for being here with us.
Hey, thank you for the compliment. Actually, I'll take back the compliment I made about your shirt. You know, if you
just because I called Didn't you old. Sorry.
No, those watching on video, Cy has got a beautiful shirt that he got at the gift exchange at Catholic Answers. Yeah. I really like it.
Yeah, Jack gave it to me just today. Yeah, thank you, Jerry.
Beautiful.
So 25 years ago today, were you nervous starting? How'd you feel going on the air?
Numb.
Did you really?
Yeah, nervous. Yeah, we were. Technology was different. It was the first experience of mine with a talk show, let alone a Catholic talk show. I had been in radio a long time up until then. But yeah, we went on the air this day, 1998, and didn't really know a whole lot about what we were doing. But thanks be to God, 25 years later, the show has still got that staying power, and I'm grateful to God for that.
Boy, we all are. I certainly am, because I got somewhere to go every day, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But so you started out today, we do a 2-hour show, but in the beginning you did a 1-hour show.
It was 1 hour. Yes. In the beginning. Uh-huh.
And, you kind of just put it out there. Anybody who wants can call. Like some days, even now, it's hard to get people to call, you know, some of those days where you say this, I always remember this, a call is pouring in, but you know, we'll get one call an hour. But what was it like in those early days trying to get calls?
Actually, you know what, we used to bribe people to call in. We would say for the caller with the most interesting question, we'll get a copy of this book by Carl Keating, this book by Jimmy Akin, whatever. And then it got to the end of the program and we'd kind of look at each other like, oh, we got to pick a most interesting call. And so Carl would go, Maria in Tucson.
That was that. Maria got a
that
book.
That was it.
Yeah, very
but
good.
We bribed people to call in. And my mother used to call all the time, so I could depend upon that as well.
That's great. Mom would call and help you out. It's funny. I hate to say this, but it's 25th anniversary of this great institution as a Catholic call-in show. We're probably not going to take regular calls today, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the show. We've decided to call you Host Emeritus. How do you feel about that? Jerry Usher, Host Emeritus.
Well, yeah, I just saw that on the screen I'm looking at here. I'm actually honored by that. I really don't know what to say. I'm grateful for that. But I did want to say this. I wanted to make sure and say this, Cy. You are doing such an amazing job on the show. You were emailing me, you know, about being on today, and you said, we'd love to have you on. This is still, you know, it's your baby and all of that. But you know what? You have taken the reins, and just as someone who, you know, it's still in my DNA. This show is still in my DNA. And as I look at it and I listen to it every day when I get a chance, I just think I am so grateful to God that you are there and that the whole show team. I'm not going to start trying to name names because I would miss a lot of people. A lot of people aren't there anymore. But as the host of the show, I am just so grateful that it is in such good hands.
That's extremely kind to you. I don't want to do the next 2 hours now. I just want to bask in that. That's extremely kind of you, Jerry. Oh, David says he'll come in and host the show for me. Thanks, David. I appreciate that. Who thought of this? Whose idea was it to do, you know what, let's do a show where people can just call in on the radio and ask anything they want about the Catholic faith?
Well, it's interesting. I'm glad you asked this because I did want to share the history of how I ended up being the one to kind of be hired and develop the show. I was in the seminary in the Archdiocese of Portland. I discerned out of the seminary at that time. I landed on my feet at the Catholic radio station in Portland, and I had been a big fan of Catholic Answers for years and years, the tracks, the newsletter, the books and everything. And so I wrote a letter to Carl Keating, who was the founder and president of Catholic Answers, and I said, hey, Carl, I'll fly to San Diego. I'll bring the equipment. Let's sit down. Let's do some apologetic shows and let's run them on the radio. And Carl was not a media guy necessarily, so he just kind of said, well, that's a great, nice idea, but I don't think we're going to do that right now. Well, I was with a group called the Lay Catholic Broadcasting Network. Chris and Vicki Lyford started that. And whenever there's a history of Catholic radio written, they ought to have a chapter on them in the book, because they hosted the first three national Catholic radio conferences. And Catholic Answers actually sent someone to the third Catholic radio conference, and she came up there. And so when she went back, she reported what she had learned about Catholic radio. And so Chris Lyford, who had started the LCBN, got a call from Catholic Answers, says, hey, can you come down here to San Diego? We'd like to pick your brain for a day. We're thinking of starting a Catholic radio show. And he happened to be a religion teacher at a Catholic high school. So he says, I can't come, but how about you bring Jerry Usher down there?
Oh, isn't that funny?
So I went to funny. The whole thing, the way I ended up, I don't want to say it's a fluke, but it was just a real providential twist. So I came down, we met for a day. I left. I said, good luck to you guys. I hope it works out well. And a week later, they said, well, we want to do this and we'd like to hire you to do it. So it was almost, it was just God's providence that I ended up being the first host of the show.
I'm sure that it was. And I think the last time I saw you in person was at the most recent National Catholic Radio Conference. And you mentioned folks who founded radio stations in the early years. Man, was that stepping out in faith. But I say this all the time, and I just want to keep saying it until people believe me. These are the sweetest, nicest, kindest, most Christian people in the world, these people who found Catholic radio stations. It's so much fun to be around them. You really have, in your career in Catholic radio, gotten to be around some of the best people in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've done a lot of Catholic radio fundraising, the pledge drives. In fact, that was kind of what precipitated my departure from Catholic Answers Live. I was out on the road about half the year, and, you know, no radio show can really be its best if the host is gone a lot. And so I had to really discern. I spent about 2 years discerning, talking with Jan Wakelin, who at the time was the head of the radio department, with Carl and with everybody else. It was really a gut-wrenching decision, but I thought, you know, I really think God is calling me to go out and continue doing this, which I actually still do many pledge drives to this day. So that's, I agree with you. These are just the best people in the world.
Well, then you did come back to Catholic Answers at some point. Is that correct? Or when you...
Well, yeah, actually, yeah, that's...
Because
when I was hired to come in the first place, I said, well, I was still discerning priesthood. And I said, well, I can do it for the first year. But then I was due to depart to go to Ottawa, Canada, and discern priesthood further with a community called the Companions of the Cross, who are still doing great and thriving to this day, probably because I didn't join. But
probably. I mean, probably.
So then I decided not to stay there at that time. So I came back, and there was a change in hosts at the time. And so I did. I was there for the first year and then gone for about almost a year and then there for about 8 or 9 years after that.
See, that's why I wake up in a cold sweat at night, because I think Jerry Usher's coming back. I know this is a temporary gig. He's coming back and I'm out. So I that's why I keep thinking EWTN. Keep him on the air in the morning. We don't need him back. Yeah. At Catholic Answers. Hey, look, Chris Check is here. Hi, Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Very, very well. Talking to, the great one, the Jerry Usher.
Yeah, Jerry. I just wanted to pop in here and say thank you to you. Every great thing begins with somebody, and you had the courage and sense of risk to take this. In fact, did you guys tell that, Jerry? You need to tell that story, because Catholic Answers launched this thing and they didn't have the money for it. So Jerry, we want to hear that story. But before we do, we get mail here a lot, and I think this is appropriate because you two remind me of each other in so many ways, because you have great hearts. You have great hearts, and you have great hearts for the caller. And we get mail here a great deal from people explaining how the apostolate has helped them understand their faith better, grow closer to Jesus Christ. And it's very gratifying to get this kind of mail. But I got a Christmas card just a couple of days ago. And this lovely woman in Florida writes, you know, she goes on about how the apostolate has helped her and everything. But it's helped her keep walking through some very difficult 2 years, she says. And truth be told, I'm not coping gracefully or joyfully with life's challenges, she writes. But I have to keep walking by faith, and you all help me do it. You all help me do it. And there's something about radio, Cy and Jerry, I think especially the medium of radio, because the program is a daily program, like your program today, Jerry, is a daily program. It's a daily program, and the medium itself, it provides a kind of companionship, I think, in a way that TV does not do. I think people have the TV set on in the background, maybe if they're they got the news on in the background, or whatever it is they're doing, the ironing or making dinner or folding laundry or who knows, bathing the dogs. But radio is constantly there with you, and it's a daily thing. And I think this is exactly what our correspondent here in Florida is talking about. And the reason it works, in addition to the medium, is because of the hearts of you two guys, the hearts that you have for the caller. So I'm super grateful to you, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Yeah, I'm happy that you're there, and I'm happy that Catholic Answers is thriving as you are to this day. It's just, like I was sharing, I was a huge fan. I just felt like a friend of Catholic Answers years before I even came to work there. So it was kind of like a dream come true, you know, to go to work at the apostolate that really had helped to, you know, keep me bolstered in my Catholic faith.
And, you know, I think that's a common story of everybody here on the staff. It's like we were all like
fans before.
Total geek fans.
Right.
Like now doing our dream job. Working at Catholic Answers, yeah.
Jerry, you'll stay with us for another segment. We'll bring Jimmy Akin in. We'll talk about some of the early years. Does that sound good?
Sure, sounds good.
Chris, thanks very much for coming.
Yeah. God bless you, Jerry. Thank you.
Jerry Usher, our guest right now. We've got all kinds of cool guests coming up over the next couple hours because we're celebrating 25 years. 25 years ago today, this program began, Catholic Answers Live. Nobody knew what was coming over the next 25 years, didn't know about the hard times that the church would face, but also didn't know about the tremendous growth in Catholic media that would happen over those 25 years. So we'll talk about all of that with Jimmy and Jerry right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Divine Intimacy Radio.
The greatest joy in my life is helping others to come to know Christ more fully. And there's no better light on this path, the path to deep union with God, than the wisdom of the saints. Talking about this daily on EWTN Radio is one of the great joys of my life.
Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday, 6:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live on this 12th day of Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And we've been joined by host emeritus, Jerry Usher, who is one half of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie each morning on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're now joined by the senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, someone who's been doing this almost 30 years himself, and 25 years ago was right there when this program started, senior apologist Jimmy Akin. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello, Cy Kellett. Are you sure Jerry is the host emeritus? I mean, did he technically resign?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure, but I don't want to look too deeply into it because I have a dog in this fight, as they say. I would prefer Jerry just stay right where he is right now. Jimmy, you remember that first day? Were you nervous at all?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know that I was nervous. I don't remember being nervous. What I do remember is we were only on like 3-4 stations at the time, and calls were light.
Yeah.
We for a while in the early period, I don't know if Jerry already talked about this, but for a while in the early period, we had to arrange for people to call in. So we would like come up with a question, call a family member of the Catholic Answers staff and have them call in with the question. And that went away as the number of stations we were on expanded. Although I don't recall being nervous, what I do recall is being excited. And in the early days, I would be so wound up after doing the show, which was what now is the first hour of the show between at 6 p.m. But that's only 3 p.m. Pacific, so we'd be done at 4.
Right.
And I would be so wound up after doing the show that I was basically spent for that last hour of the day. And couldn't really concentrate and do other stuff. But after 30 years of or 25 years of radio, that goes away.
Right.
I always enjoy radio when I'm on, but I can shift back to something else afterwards.
So the two of you together must have done I can't imagine, but hundreds of shows together over the years.
Yeah, I'm sure it's my. In fact, When I left the program, I think it was 2009, I think I counted there have been 3,000 or 4,000, if you count each hour of the show. And, of course, by now, it's probably, five-figure, thousands, 10, 15,000 shows. But, Jimmy, I don't know if you – I'm sure you'll remember this, but we wanted to make sure that, the calls were all theologically precise and specific and the questions were on the mark. So you were the call screener in the early days of the show. I'm sure you remember that.
Oh, yeah. I remember doing a lot of call screening. I didn't do it all the time. We also had Mary Fagan, our producer, mm-hmm. doing it as well. And we would kind of switch who was doing it on some days. But I remember doing the call screening. And sometimes that could be a bit of an issue because people would recognize my voice from the air. And they would want me to answer the question, even though I'm not the guest. And so sometimes I would experiment with using a different accent and had mixed success with that, I guess. Also, there was a bit of behind-the-scenes lingo or slang that Mary and I developed, because sometimes, you get callers who really want to ask a question and they're very sincere, but they're not very focused. And it can be challenging to get them ready to go on the air and ask a question and be focused. And I don't recall who came up with it, but sometimes we would refer to the person doing the call screening as the call screamer.
Right. So that's
a Dr. Ray Grundy thing, I think.
Oh, is that where it came from? Yeah. That sounds like Dr.
It was parallel evolution. We invented it here, too.
So in those early days, every day was open forum? Did you do theme shows? How did you have meetings where you said, let's do a show about this or that? Or how'd you do it?
I was in favor of doing open forums from the beginning, but that's not how we started. We started with basically every show having a topic. They were all topical shows. And there were internal discussions about, could we really do open forums? And I remember when the transition happened, because some of the topical shows were getting a little thin in the sense of how are you possibly going to fill an hour with this topic? Mm-hmm. And Carl Keating was scheduled to do an episode on the question, who can go to communion? And at some point before that episode happened, he realized there was no way to fill an hour with that question. And he made the transition to doing forums, which was I was all in favor of. I thought that was a much better approach for the show, and it's gone on to become some of our most popular segments.
So Carl just did it live on the air. We're switching to open forum. Call and ask anything you want.
Well, I guess it got announced on the air. He made the decision earlier.
Oh, I see. I got what you're saying.
But it was on the calendar.
Add to that real quickly. Just like it was a struggle to get calls in the early days, what we used to do is all of us who knew, people involved in ministry and apostolates and this and that, we'd all put those names, down, and we would schedule them not just for a show, but we'd schedule them for like five shows, over mm-hmm. a course of, a few weeks or a couple months or something, just to fill the calendar up. And then, of course, nowadays, there's, not enough time in the day to have all the people on the show that I'm sure you'd like to have on.
Oh, well, that's definitely true. And especially because I don't know how it was in the, with the in-house apologists at the time, but we've got five in-house apologists now. So even if we just did, hey, each of you take an hour a week, that's half the week for us.
Yeah. Also, another thing we did at the time was because the internet was only beginning to be a thing then, and people weren't used to going to it to find radio schedules. We would have to do, Mary Fagan would have to do the schedule 3 months in advance so that it could be printed in the magazine and people could have it in, in their mailboxes before the shows actually happened. So we were having to work 3 months ahead in the magazine. And now that, that people are used to going to the internet to find the radio schedule and to actually listen on the internet, we don't have to do that anymore. And so sometimes I get a text from Darren saying, can you do the second hour today? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I know. You are our go-to.
We used to sell cassette tapes of the shows as well. So,
wait, tell me about that. So you just record the show and then and then put it on some cassettes and send them out to folks?
Yeah, yeah, we would make I don't know how many copies, not that many because we didn't know how many we were going to sell. We might have we would take maybe the more popular shows and make 5 or 10 cassette copies and then announce on the show, "Hey, this show is for sale on cassette." And of course, I would say probably 50 to 70% of your audience today right now doesn't know what a cassette tape is. So, we probably better not delve too deeply into that.
No, but that it really is striking to think about how much the media has changed. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, and there are lots of other shows that would do the same thing, that would sell episodes on cassettes. That's another thing that's been overtaken by technology because now the show is recorded in MP3 format. It's online, and people can just download it.
Yeah, right, anywhere. What was it like with the one of you said, I don't remember which one, that it was 4 or 5 stations you started on the first day?
So I think it was 3, but it quickly went to 4.
Yeah. Okay.
So then did you, like, was there just a party in the office every time one new station opened up or something? Or, like, how did that go?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, my memories are fuzzy. I'll defer to you on that one.
Well, in the early, see, EWTN, we cannot forget, you know, the role that EWTN has played in this and the affiliates, and we could go on and on for 2 hours here with just thank yous to all the people who have played a role in this. But you were talking earlier, Cy, about the dedicated men and women who have put these stations on the air, often a great sacrifice to their own financial interests and family, you know, families have been involved in making sacrifices and everything. But yeah, we were on, I think, three or four stations to begin. And yeah, it was kind of a trickle at first. You know, there'd be a fifth and then a sixth and maybe two more would come on the air. Of course, in the last 5 to 10 years, it's just really multiplied exponentially. But yeah, we would celebrate. Absolutely. We'd mention them on the air. Sometimes we would call the founders of the stations and have them on for a few minutes because we were, you know, let's face it, you know, if you're a radio program and you don't have stations out there that are airing the show, it's really a challenge, as we've touched upon already. So yeah, it was big news and very happy news for all of us when a new station went on the air.
Yeah. I also remember very much the role that EWTN played and how pivotal it was in enabling us to do the show, and especially, you know, right from the beginning. I was employed at Catholic Answers for a number of years before we had the radio show. And so I remember sitting in on the discussions where we were first starting to talk about doing a show. At that time, the staff was so small that it could not only fit inside one room, it could fit around a table.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting around the table and saying, okay, do we want to do a radio show? What kind of radio show do we want to do? How do we, you know, how do we want the guests to work? How do we want the host to work? And one of the first things we did was contact EWTN to see if they would be interested in having us as part of their lineup. And Carl Keating came back with a message from EWTN saying that Mother Angelica said, "I want Catholic Answers on EWTN radio." And so she personally intervened to Wonderful. Get us on the radio and as part of their shortwave network. And then Jerry came on, and that's how it began.
Jerry, I know we only have you for just a couple more minutes here, but do you remember among the callers, were they shocked to find a Catholic radio show? I mean, there was lots of Protestant radio at the time, but was there a kind of shock that the Catholics were into doing this now?
Well, I think there was. It's greatly lessened now because Catholic radio is so prevalent. But yeah, and we used to actually be on some Protestant stations. Catholic groups would buy airtime. That's how a lot of Catholic radio stations and networks got started. Jimmy, I know you remember that, and maybe you can comment on that after the break. But you know, a lot of people started buying airtime. There wasn't a Catholic station in their area, so they would buy airtime on a Protestant station, and then ultimately they would buy a couple more hours of airtime, a couple more hours. Pretty soon they would end up buying the station. So yeah, it was really a shock to a lot of people, but even today there are too many people who don't know about Catholic radio.
Boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, in every parish you visit, there's still people who go, really? I had no idea. Jerry Escher, I know we got to say goodbye to you, but I do want to thank you again. Yeah, I know that we got to say goodbye to Jerry, but he has to go dig out his front yard from all the snow that has fallen.
I just want to say, Si, your job is very safe. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You're doing a fantastic job. Jimmy, God bless you, brother. It's great to hear from you. Great to talk with you, and I'll be listening to the next hour and a half here. It's going to be great.
Catholic Answers host emeritus Jerry Escher. We'll be right back with more with Jimmy Akin.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whyweareprolife.com.
Hi, this is Janet Benkovic-Williams. There's nothing like Women of Grace to explain the truth of our faith Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. The one great innovation that I feel somewhat responsible for at Catholic Answers is the introduction of the Thursday Groovy Music as a feature. There's a little groovy music for you. I didn't record it. I didn't produce it. I just said, I like that music. Let's play that every Thursday. Jimmy Akin is our guest. Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, the proprietor of Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World. And 25 years ago today, he was there when all of this began. Jimmy, thank you so much for being here with us to reminisce a little bit on the 25th anniversary of this program we're doing right now.
Yeah, my pleasure. Now, this being the 12th day of Christmas, you said.
Oh,
right.
Thank you, Jimmy.
So, how do you like your Lord's a-leaping?
I assume your
true love gave you some. So.
Yes, my true love did give me 12 Lord's a-leaping, and I have to say my response was I shouldn't have said, what am I supposed to do with these? That's not a. I don't think that's a.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But it's just what came out. But you reminded me I'm supposed to read this ad, Jimmy, so thank you very much. Each day of Christmas, we'll be reading a clue leading you to a book title at shop.catholic.com. If you're one of the first five to locate the product and use the attached promo code, you will get it for free. Today's the final day, the 12th day of Christmas, day 12. 12 drummers drumming. That's not right, is it? It's 12 Lords
Leaping. No, it's 12 Lords Leaping.
But I can't change it now. It's in print in front of me. I have to read it. On the 12th day, all children humming. Will you detect 12 drummers drumming? Use that clue at shop.catholic.com to see if you can find a prize. You get a free book, and it'll count, even if this is supposed to be Lords Leaping. On the 12th day... Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, so actually I've just looked it up, and there is at least a version that does have 12 drummers drumming. And all in right. that version, it's 10 Lords Leaping.
All right. All right, well, we're going with the 12 drummers drumming version. Okay. America. Earth. I shouldn't just say America, because anybody can get the prize. On the 12th day, all children humming. Will you detect 12 drummers drumming? See if you can follow that clue to your prize at shop.catholic.com. Jimmy, we rely.
There are different versions, you know. Like, there's, I know, a Canadian version with 5 golden toques.
That is not true.
That's, oh, sure it is.
Is it really?
Sure it is. 5 golden toques.
I had no idea.
And a beer.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is that the Is that the
Bob
brother
and Doug McKenzie?
Bob and Doug McKenzie. Yeah, that's their version. All right, so we rely entirely on callers. Well, not entirely. We could probably do it without them like we're doing it today. But not, it wouldn't be a very good call-in show without callers. And what's the difference between, a caller today and a caller 25 years ago? Has there been a difference? So do you know a difference?
Yeah, there's been a shift. And there's actually been more than one shift in the types of questions that we get. Back then, you know, Catholic radio was a brand new thing. And so there were lots of people who were listening to it because they were radio listeners, but they, you know, they hadn't heard a lot about the faith. I mean, they don't answer apologetic questions in churches very often. And so people had lots of questions and they were very basic. Mm-hmm. And so we would get lots of really basic questions. I remember, and I'm sorry Jerry's not here because he could confirm this, but we got the question, did Jesus have brothers, over and over and over and over again. And it was like, if I have to answer that question one more time, I'm going to scream. But it was, you know, what people were asking. Right. And then as we'd been on the air longer, and we also got on more stations, but then as we'd been on the air longer, you know, people had all of their basic questions answered, and so we wouldn't get them nearly as often, and the question level started to go up in complexity over a period of a number of years. And so after a while, we were getting very intricate, obscure questions because that's where the audience's mind was. They'd gotten educated over listening to the show for a number of years, and so they were asking much more advanced questions. Then we had an expansion in the stations that we were on. There was a growth in the number of stations, and that brought in a whole bunch of new listeners who had not had the experience yet of listening to the show for years. And as a result of that, we ended up with what I think, and I think we're kind of in this stage now, we have a nice mix of questions where we do get some basic questions, which we do need to answer periodically, because there are always new people coming on, you know, people who are just learning about the Catholic faith, whether they're Catholic or not, they're learning about the Catholic faith for the first time. And so we need to answer those basic questions, but it also doesn't need to stay at that basic level. And we also have, as part of the mix, the more advanced questions. Then these days, we even have kind of taken it to another level. At least every other month, we do weird questions, which are deliberately advanced and out of the box. So we've got kind of a tier system for the different questions we answer.
That really is something, isn't it? It strikes me, too, that because I've listened for years and years, that it doesn't always seem like there's the same level of over the course of the years. It seems like sometimes the challenging questions go up where you get – it just seems like – and I do remember the period – of the new atheists in particular as a time where you would listen and it would be like, oh, another person who's got a new atheist type question. And then it'll go away. I don't feel like we get tons of I feel like the questions are very sincere nowadays, not just like gotcha questions as much. I don't know. What's your impression of that?
I don't know if I noticed now a shift in the gotcha questions. We do occasionally get, you know, people who are more interested in making a speech than asking a question.
Yeah.
Or if they are asking a question, it is a gotcha type question where they want to spring something on you based on the answer. But I think what may have shifted in that regard is more who is asking the gotcha questions. Because as you and Jerry were discussing in our last segment, originally we were on quite a number of Protestant stations where Catholics had bought airtime, and we would have a lot of Protestant callers who were not Catholic friendly.
You know, yeah, right.
25 years ago, there was more anti-Catholicism than there is now. And we would have a lot of people with a Protestant background calling in asking gotcha type questions. Then these days it tends to be more people who are hostile to faith in general who want to do the gotcha type stuff. Now we also have people who are not Christian, some of whom are atheists, who are very sincere and open-minded. So, and we have many Protestant listeners who are very sincere and open-minded. So I don't want to make it sound like those two groups are, you know, intrinsically hostile to Catholicism,
right, yes,
because they're
sure.
not. But there are individuals who are hostile and will try to ask those types of questions, as well as, you know, Catholic traditionalists sometimes will do the same thing.
Yep. That's true. Yeah, we get our own folks, so to speak. I mean, with the gotcha questions from time to time. Yeah.
Well, you know what James Joyce said Catholicism means here comes everybody.
Yeah, indeed. Has your approach to answering questions changed? I'm sure that it has in some ways. You just get better at
it.
But
I decided I didn't want to be a jerk anymore. So I tried to turn down the jerk factor.
Did you feel that you were a jerk at one time?
No, not really. But I have grown in skill in answering the questions, and I've grown, and part of that skill is being able to project a consistently or more consistently positive demeanor.
Yeah.
And coming across as patient and so forth. In prior years, I mean, we're going back 2.5 decades now, but in prior years, I could sometimes, you know, let my dander show a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten more relaxed and you know, confident, and I don't need to do that. It may still happen occasionally, but I don't think, and you would be better at me than assessing this since you're watching the show as an observer. But I don't think that I these days tend to show very much irritation. If I do, it's not at the question I'm being asked. It would be more at not yet being asked a question because someone's giving loads of irrelevant background or making a speech or something like that.
Yeah. Right. Right. No, I think that people have that is the thing that I do hear consistently, you know, like when you're out on the road or something and you meet a group. And often I hear that people really appreciate that about you, Jimmy. They really appreciate the fact that you take everybody's question seriously and you answer the question. You don't go off on, you know, and I'm not saying any of our other apologists do, but you do hear lots of folks on the radio who go off and they just do their own thing no matter what the questioner asks. And I think people feel like you take the questioner seriously, you try to address the question that they asked. And that's the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I try to do so in a kind and patient way.
But let me ask you about this, if I may, because it's 25 years and it is so... There's so much reason to celebrate, but it's kind of been an awful 25 years to be Catholic in a lot of ways. And you know, like we had the abuse crises all throughout the early 2000s. And we've had these kind of culture war battles that I don't think we want to fight, but sometimes we got to fight them. And, was it difficult for you at times to defend the Catholic Church or because it feels kind of providential to me. 1998, this program starts, and lots of Catholic radio stations starts. And then real trouble starts in 2002, real trouble, you know, with the kind of trouble that Hollywood makes movies about, trouble. And here you were defending the church in that very difficult time.
I do remember that time in particular, in 2002, 2003, there was added weight that I felt in terms of defending the church, because it was just so relentless. And as horrible as the abuse situation was, and fortunately, thank God, it's much better today, due in no small part to the actions of Pope Benedict and Pope Francis. But as bad as the abuse situation was, it became the occasion for people who fundamentally did not like the church to just camp out and not want to talk reasonably about it, just to emote and to emote negatively and try to be sensationalistic, and it, there's a place for venting. That place is not necessarily Catholic radio, or not a question and answer show, in any event, but there would be people who would, and it wasn't just the show, because we had, you know, we have contact with the public through other means besides the show, and we would get letters and emails, and people were so raw at the time that it could be difficult to say, okay, let's approach this reasonably. Let's recognize the emotion but not be dominated by it, and let's try to have a realistic perspective on how bad is this. It's not like every priest is a child sex predator, you know, the vast majority are not, and it shouldn't distort one's understanding of the priesthood or of the church because of this. This is a reality. It's a tragic reality. It needs to be corrected. But that doesn't mean you write off everything. But it was just so intense at the time that there was an added weight to defending the church. And it could be very challenging to try to find the right balance in articulating that in a way that communicated that, yes, we are taking this seriously. We're not trying to minimize this. And at the same time, it is not as bad as the anti-Catholic media is making it sound, because you would have people who would want to make it sound like every priest is a child sex predator, when that simply was factually not true.
Yep. Thank God we're not in the throes of that anymore, but we certainly have learned not to be too sanguine about that, because they come up again. You know, I guess it's part of human nature. These things will come up again. I do want to say before you go, Jimmy, and we've got more guests coming on to celebrate the 25th, the Catholic media has really undergone a transformation in the last 25 years, and now there's podcasters and there's every different kind of thing.
I remember when we got an email, this was quite a number of years ago, but it said, Catholic Answers Live must podcast or die. And the first thing I did after looking that up was, what is podcasting?
Yes, and now we do. We did, but we didn't die. We do podcasts. But what I wanted to say to you, Jimmy, is I think that so many more people have gotten into the field that you were in 25 years ago when you started this, and many, many have been influenced by the work that you did, and that influence has been much to the good of all of us, because of the civility, because of the reasonableness, and because of the humanity of the way you've done it. So thank you, and congratulations on 25 years of doing this, and thank you, Jimmy.
Well, thank you. And in the next 25, I will try to be even less of a jerk.
All right. We've got a commitment from him. They told me, try to wring a commitment out of him. That's all we can ask, Jimmy. Try. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of our 25th anniversary celebration of this program, Catholic Answers Live, right after this.
Hello. This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
This is Bob Grappi, General Manager of Divine Mercy Radio in Melbourne, Florida. Catholic Radio has been providing Catholics and others solid ground in these particularly troubling times with news including threats to our culture, situational on-air counseling, apologetics for Catholics and others, and biblical teaching for growth and holiness. Catholic Radio is not just radio, it's radio that makes a difference.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Willkommen back to Catholic Answers Live. That's one of the things that we've developed. We've become multilingual over the last 25 years here on Catholic Answers Live. And this program, it just could not happen the way it happens. It certainly couldn't have happened in the last 6 years with the introduction of a new host who needed a lot of help over the those years without this guest, who has not been here for the full 25 years, has been here an awful long time. And there's attention-seeking people, there's people who avoid attention, and then there's people who find attention painful. Our next guest falls into the last category, people who find it painful, but we told him, you have to come on. It's producer Darren. Hey, Darren DeLozier. Thanks for coming in here.
Hey, thank you.
That was so relaxed, the way you said that. You really don't like this, do you?
Yeah, I prefer the other side of the studio without the microphones, yeah.
Yep. One thing about you, Darren, and I'll just tell folks this, and then I want to ask you some questions about your time here, is you remember everybody who's been on, what we talked about with them. You have a freakish... I don't know if freakish is a negative. I didn't mean it as a negative word, but I would say mutant-like, if that's more positive.
Okay.
Ability to remember and keep us on an even keel by saying, are you sure you want to have that person on? Because 11 years ago they said this, and here we go. Oh, nope, we don't want to have that person on.
Yeah, there's a special section of my brain that it can remember crazy things like that.
It comes
at a cost. I can't remember things like... You know, what I did yesterday afternoon a lot of times, but
yeah.
For some reason, little things like that, just I can recall them.
Well, one big thing that's changed for you, married with five children, that has changed your life, hasn't it?
Very much, yeah.
So you came here as a single guy, a convert to the Catholic faith. Why did you come to Catholic Answers?
Sure. Well, I started listening to Catholic Answers Live a few months after the show began. I was a senior in high school in 1998, and through a friend of mine who now lives in Omaha, he's a listener to Spirit Catholic Radio there, he kind of introduced me to Catholicism. All I knew about Catholicism was they had a pope and they wore uniforms to school.
Both of which are true, so you had a good foundation.
My friend pointed me to Catholic Answers and Carl Keating, and I found Catholic.com, and through clicking through the old yellow website, some of the old timers might remember the old yellow website, I found, they have some kind of show. And this is before MP3s. It was back when they had real audio files, so it was like the file, .ra, and I found a way, I could click on this calendar and listen to this hour-long show, and they're just answering questions about Catholicism. So before binge-watching or binge-listening was a thing...
You were binging Catholic
Answers. I was a senior
Answers.
In high school, 1998, binge-listening to this new show called Catholic Answers Live.
Wow.
And I think I completed the first 4 months, and then there was no shows after that because the...
Because it's still so new?
Yeah, it was still going on. And I was investigating Catholicism at the time, and listening to Catholic Answers Live really made me, gave me more confidence in, I was just taken by, wow, these guys have an answer to everything. The craziest objections, the objections that you just seem to make so much sense coming from a Protestant background growing up. Wow, these answers just completely changed my mind. And so I ended up coming into the church about 3 years later.
And but did you go? I know you are a graduate of Franciscan University in Steubenville. Did you go to a Catholic college because of this show? Is that?
Well, yeah, I'd say there are many factors in the conversion, but Catholic Answers Live was a very big one. It was kind of pre-catechized me, so
yeah.
to speak.
Yeah.
And really cleared away a lot of the obstacles. And so I transferred to Steubenville in 2001, or in 2000, knowing that I would join RCIA there. And so
I see.
So I came into the church Easter 2001.
Wow, so you're 22 years a Catholic.
Yes.
And how many of those have you been working here? Doing this radio program?
I came here in 2005, so I've been here 17 and a half years.
Well, you can't ever leave. You don't know how to be Catholic without this program.
I know.
You don't know how to be Catholic without working here.
Most of the vast majority of my Catholic life, I've been working here.
And have you enjoyed it? Have you enjoyed working at Catholic Answers?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, how can you? I mean, we have Mass in the building. Jesus is right down the hall.
I get what you're saying, but it doesn't make it, like, it sounds like, well, there's nothing else good going on here, but we do have Mass. I mean, that's kind of how that came across, Darren, but you're right. That is the center of the day here.
Yeah. Yeah. And, and just, you know, sometimes you get involved in something and then you start, or something you're interested in, and then you get involved in it more thoroughly, and then you find out, oh, behind the scenes, there's all this, you know, it's not so nice. I don't like to see how the sausage is made.
Right.
And I'd say it's just been so edifying working in Catholic radio, you know, seeing things like, you know, a show ends, but we see that there's a caller on the line that didn't make, you know, we just didn't have enough time. But the guest, you know, after we sign off air, says, hey, I know we're off the air, but can you connect me with this person? I just want to talk to them right now and help them.
Right.
And, you know, things like that. And guests following up with callers off the air, you know, they don't have to do this. So that's just one example of the kind of things you see.
Yeah, it is. This feels like a healthy apostolate. And maybe it won't always be. Maybe it wasn't always. But it does feel like a healthy apostolate in that way, that people actually believe this stuff. That we talk. That's something that I discovered coming here 6 years ago this month. I came here, which brings me to this question. What's the best decision you ever made running the radio? No, I'm only kidding. But go ahead, say it anyways.
Going with the current theme music. No, wait. Oh,
The current theme music.
Actually.
You better not let people know you're responsible for that, because some people don't like the theme music.
I guess I would have to say...
Go ahead.
Bringing psychedelics.
That's what I was thinking. Thank you for taking that clue. I do appreciate that. Over the years, what stands out to you? Extraordinary moments, things that happened that you thought, I never thought I was going to see that happen on radio, or calls that came in, answers that went out, anything that stands out to you that you really value?
I remember an Eastern Orthodox priest calling in one time, and basically, or he called in, asked a question, got an answer, and he said, well, I think I just need to become Catholic now. And he was sincere.
It was like the last question that he needed answered.
Yeah, I mean, he was close, and then he said, well, I think it's time.
Yeah.
So basically announced on the air that he wants to come to Rome.
Isn't that beautiful?
And then, so that would be one of the more moving live calls. And then, like, behind-the-scenes shenanigans, when Father Vincent Serpa was here, folks in the control room used to call him on our office phone and say, hey, Father, we have a situation down here in the studio. Can you come down? So he'd come down the hallway, but we'd lock the door. So he couldn't get into the studio, and you just pranking Father Vincent Serpa.
That was the fun for you.
Yeah.
We have a 25th anniversary cake. Can we cut the cake now, Darren?
Let's
please.
Do it.
You made me
Let's
do a
it.
Whole hour with no cake. Darren Delosier, he's been producing this radio program for a long time. He's certainly made it easy for me to come in here and also makes my life easy every single day. Darren, I'm really glad you came on the air. Thank you for doing it.
Thank you.
It wasn't so bad, was it?
We made it.
All right. We'll start the next hour with Chris Check, and we got a whole bunch more great guests as we celebrate 25 years of Catholic Answers Live. Thank you for listening, for supporting us, for praying for us, and for still being there for us. We'll continue right after this on Catholic Answers Live.